And I pledge to you that I will be there next January on the floor of the United States Senate when we begin the great battle.
And Edward M. Kennedy fulfilled that pledge, him speaking a year and a day from the day of his death at age 77 after a year-long battle with brain cancer. Speaking at the Democratic National Convention, the convention that nominated Barack Obama as the nominee for president. President Obama says this morning that he and Michelle are heartbroken. Quote, an important chapter in our history has come to an end. Our country has lost a great leader. We're going to have remembrances of Edward M. Kennedy all morning here on The Takeaway, as well as the reaction that's coming in from all quarters, from members of the Kennedy family, as well as lawmakers, people in Washington, leaders from around the world. Continuing now with Kevin Cullen, columnist for the Boston Globe. And also joining us is Carl Hulse, chief congressional correspondent for The New York Times in Washington. Good morning, Carl and Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Kevin, continue with what you were saying. I mean, here was what a life, Kevin Cullen, Teddy had. And he had to fight because he was the youngest of nine.
Yeah, and you had the Kennedy table, the dinner table, was sort of like this debating society, and really everybody had to get involved. But use the term, and it almost sounds hackneyed, but the term public service, I think it's something that was instilled in these kids from the moment they really could sit at the dinner table. And, you know, Eunice, I think, was kind of the consummate person in that regard, because Eunice was never elected to an office, and yet the way she brought disabled people and people with disabilities to the table, you know, she had a profound effect on human beings' lives. And I think Teddy is just the, you know, you bring that up to an elected official and somebody that served, you know, in public office. I think of Teddy, I think of, you know, mentally retarded people. I think of people with mental disabilities who will now, because of him and his great pal Pete Domenici, a Republican, got through that bill that made, you know, a parity act between that made mental illness the same as a physical illness when it came to you approaching your insurance company. Those are the kind of things. And I mentioned Pete Domenici because there's nobody in the Senate who has such a bipartisan record. When I think of senators, you know, in my lifetime, the two names that come to my mind all the time are like Ted Kennedy and then Jesse Helms. Now, I always knew what Jesse Helms was against, but I wasn't quite so sure what he was for. You always knew what Ted Kennedy was for. And nobody, I don't think anybody will, it's almost like talking about when, you know, when some great baseball player retires, nobody will beat DiMaggio's consecutive hit streak. Nobody
well, he's only two senators nobody. Have served longer than Ted Kennedy in the Senate. So, I mean, his legacy in the Senate is secure. You said a moment ago, Kevin Cullen, that everybody knew what Ted Kennedy was for. I mean, probably supreme among those things Kennedy was for was this. Here he is speaking back in 1996.
Families deserve the security and peace of mind of knowing two important things, that their insurance will not be canceled when they are sick and need it most, and that they will not lose their coverage or face new exclusions for pre-existing conditions because they change their job or lose their job.
Talking with Kevin Cullen, columnist for the Boston Globe, and also Carl Hulse, chief congressional correspondent for the New York Times. Carl, you know, Ted Kennedy believed from the beginning of his advocacy of health care reform in the United States to his dying day that every American deserved essentially government-subsidized health care. He never wavered in that, right?
Right, and it'll be very interesting right now to see if his passing influences the debate, obviously, because no one, it's been very partisan this summer, obviously, you know, terribly overheated, and everyone talking about how Ted Kennedy's absence is being felt. So it'll be interesting now to see if his death changes the dynamic here. I mean, people have been waiting for someone to step up and say, listen, we have to stop the partisanship, talk about this logically, and now perhaps, you know, that will be his final influence. I don't know.
Carl, this is Femi Okeh here. I'm just reading that President Obama said that he thanked Edward Kennedy for his wise counsel in the Senate. How much was he doing behind the scenes while he was sick?
Well, he was talking to Chris Dodd regularly, other members, the president, Harry Reid. So he was playing a role, but everyone, of course, has been talking about how the fact that he was gone was leaving, creating a vacuum, and no one was stepping up to fill it at this point, leaving the members of the Senate to fight. So he was playing a role. It wasn't the role he normally would have played. Everyone was saying, wow, if Ted Kennedy was here, things might be different. So...
Well, it's interesting. He even suggested that the rules be changed for reappointment, anticipating his early death, that the governor of Massachusetts appoint a new senator so that there would be two votes for health care reform, according to Kennedy, and that his would essentially be there, at least virtually. So, Kevin, Colin, you know, if we're talking about health care, there's that legislative legacy. There's also civil rights. You mentioned rights for the disabled. It's also the case that Teddy Kennedy made lots of headlines during the summer. There was the campaign in 1980, the ill-fated campaign in 1980. And then, of course, this very, very famous headline that Teddy Kennedy made in July of 1969.
This morning I entered a plea of guilty to the charge of leaving the scene of an accident. This last week has been an agonizing one for me and for the members of my family. And the grief we feel over the loss of a wonderful friend will remain with us the rest of our lives.
Now, the Chappaquiddick incident, Kevin Cullen, it dogged Teddy Kennedy for much of his Senate career, but then it seemed to go away. When did that change?
Well, I think, obviously, Chappaquiddick killed more than Mary Jo Kopechne. I think it really killed any chance that Teddy would be elected president. But I think the other thing is, there was a period after that I think Teddy engaged in what he even acknowledged was questionable personal behavior. There's too much drinking. There's too much carousing. But there came a time, and I don't think it's coincidental. I think it's when Vicky came into his life that he settled down, and then he got back to doing what he did best.
That's his second wife, Vicky, right?
Yeah, Vicky, yeah. And that's create laws and make laws. The other legacy that we're talking about, Ted Kennedy. I think, and Carl can talk to this more than me, because I'm not really a Washington guy, even though I've worked there over the years sporadically. Teddy Kennedy had the best effective staff over a period of 30-odd years that you could name. Some of the best people in Washington went through that office. And why they went through that office, young kids that came up on the Hill, they wanted to work there. It's like a kid wants to play for the Yankees instead of playing for the Houston Astros.
Is that true, Carl?
Things done.
It's interesting he could get DiMaggio and the Yankees into a Teddy Kennedy.
I'm from Boston. What can I say?
Right, you're going to get in trouble all day for that, Kevin. But is that true? Was that a plum staff?
That's true. He actually is known for his staff. I mean, over the years, there was talk, you know, that they actually supplemented the salaries of the staff. When the convention was in Boston, back when Kerry was nominated, one of the things that I found most interesting was that, and I did a story on Kennedy at that time, and it was sort of the presidential nominating convention that he never had, was that people talked about how Teddy Kennedy ultimately had a bigger influence than either of his brothers when they ran for president, because he stayed in the Senate for so long and served as a legislator. So I think that is true. And, you know, in some ways, Chappaquiddick did prevent him from being in the White House, but it also led to him having a greater influence legislatively.
Well, it's a complicated legacy. I mean, you've got the Kennedys were supposed to be president, right? Joe was supposed to be president, then JFK was president. He was assassinated. RFK was going to be president. So, in a sense, there was always this concern that being a senator wasn't enough for Teddy. But in the end, it's probably a bigger legacy even than JFK in real terms. Kevin?
I think it enough for his father. I don't know if it was not enough for Ted. I think Ted made peace with that quite a while ago, probably after the 1980 run. But I think that's absolutely true what Carl says. I think that he could have run for president. Hey, let's say maybe he gets two terms in there. That's 8 years. There's no way he could have matched the legislative record that he, you know, that
right.
There's no way he would have got those laws through if he was president. The way, and that's the interesting thing about, I always come back to whenever I've talked about Teddy publicly over the years, I usually get attacked by, I guess the only way to describe them are people who never got over Chappaquiddick.
Well, we're going to get over Chappaquiddick this morning. I think most of America will as well. Certainly, Ted Kennedy, of course, we're going to remind you, overnight died after a year long battle with brain cancer. Kevin Cullen is staying with us, columnist for the Boston Globe, also Carl Hulse, chief congressional correspondent for the New York Times. A complicated but very important legacy. The death of Ted Kennedy continues in a moment.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.